Good afternoon, it's 12 o'clock and welcome to the MoneyWeb at Midday Show. My name is Ryk van Niekerk. Well, the JSE is caught again in the crossfire of the Trump and China trade war, and the Rand remains within a narrow band of around 14 Rand 90 and 15 Rand against the dollar. In corporate news, Comair is set to report results at 12 o'clock. I haven't seen it on SENS, but hopefully it will be announced, and I'll speak to, hopefully, to Eric Venter, CEO of Comair, about the numbers. Comair, of course, hasn't reported a loss in its 71-year history, and it would be interesting to see whether this can be maintained. Then Naspers announced it will invest a massive 1.4 billion rand in the local vehicle purchase group WeBuyCars. Very interesting transaction, that one. And then Vivo Energy also announced that it has finally secured regulatory approval to buy Engen's international operations, and that is a big 30 billion rand deal. And I'll speak to Paul Fischer, portfolio manager at Unum Capital, about these and other stories. But first, let's look at the indicators. The JSE All Share down nearly 0.4% at 56,091 points. Resources has gained 0.5%. Industrials down nearly 1.3%. Financials up nearly or just above 0.33%. The gold index down 1.7%. On other international markets, the FTSE 100 relatively flat at 7,308 points. The DAX has gained 0.2%, the CIC 40 up 0.3%. Earlier in Southeast Asia, the Nikkei gained 1.4%, Shanghai gained 1.8%, and the Hang Seng closed 0.59% higher. Let's look at some individual shares. Glencore has gained a significant 3.5%, CUP up 3.5%, Implats 3.3%, Anglo Plat is trading 2.3% higher, and Anglo is also 2% higher. On the downside, Aspen losing another 3.6%, down at 185.67 rand. Anglo Gold down 3.4%, Sibanye Gold down 3.3%, Naspers down 2.45%, Mediclinic also lost 2.4%, while Sasol is trading down 2.2%. The Rand is trading at 14 Rand 90 against the dollar, 19 Rand 57 against the pound, and 17 Rand 41 against the euro. The euro is trading at $1.16, the pound at $1.31, Bitcoin at $6,250 or 97,406 Rand. Gold is trading at $1,199. The platinum price is $804. Good to see platinum back above $800. Brent crude up $1.28 to $78.88 US cents. That's not good news. And on the capital market, the R186 is at 9.25%. Paul Fischer from Unum Capital, welcome to the show. This is going to be the story of the next few months, I believe. You know, very volatile markets and mostly influenced by external factors.
Absolutely, Rick. Yeah, I see a lot of news coming out on the trade debate today. Well, in the last yesterday and today, obviously Trump has issued another 10% tariff on $200 billion worth of goods, which is probably going to go up to 25% early next year. So funny, I guess the ironic issue in the statement was that he said he's going to leave it at 10% now and increase it to 25% next year to give U.S. businesses time to adjust. At the end of the day, U.S. businesses are going to be paying these tariffs. So you kind of wonder what he's trying to do by making he's trying to improve the situation in the U.S., but essentially giving them an extra cost that they have to bring through to customers in a way, unless they can find a way to manufacture goods that China's manufacturing. So it's an interesting dynamic at the moment.
And this is probably going to be Trump's biggest legacy, is this trade war, because in many ways it doesn't make sense. But looking at the local market, we see property stocks under immense pressure. New 52-week lows for Hyprop, Growthpoint, Accelerate, and Redefine. Why the pressure on property stocks?
I think, look, these properties, in our view, have been quite expensive for a while, and obviously you've had some, let's call it sentiment issues around some of the stocks that have caused a big sell-off in the index. But if you look at just the general world, I think there's a lot of fear around inflation going up and rates rising, and that's going to affect property prices negatively. So, if you know, at the moment it's not it's not really on the front of investors' minds too much, but if inflation does start to become an issue, and especially in the US, if the US starts to raise rates quickly than previously thought, it is going to put pressure on property assets globally, you know, because that's obviously going to affect our bond yield. And if our bond yield goes up, then to compensate investors for owning property stocks, the yield on property would need to go up, meaning the capital price needs to come down. So I think there's a lot of this in the markets at the moment. And in our view, you know, property has been expensive for quite some time. It's run very hard. I mean, you've done, you know, last 15, 20 years holding property stocks, you've had an amazing return in your portfolio. But I just think going forward, this long-term, let's call it 30, 35-year bond bull market that has been good for listed property, we see reversing now. And I think over the next 10, 15, 20 years, you're going to see bonds yields tracing upwards rather than downwards.
Yeah,
there's not too much to go from a zero return on a bond. So you're going to see this dynamic playing out. And I think that's what's causing pressure on property.
Paul, have you heard that ad on radio and TV, and you see these billboards of "we buy cars," and you see these gentlemen with hundreds of rands in their hands, and they seem to be really friendly, and they will buy your car and come out to you. Did you think that business is worth 1.4 billion rand?
Clearly, Naspers does. So I don't know too much about the underlying business itself, but look, I mean, it sits into what Naspers is trying to do clearly with the announcement of unbundling MultiChoice. The group is, I think, strategically focusing more on the e-commerce side. So they want to get more into the e-commerce side, get in the internet side, and, you know, the investment in Tencent many years back. And they're really, you know, unbundling the MultiChoice side. So it definitely fits in line with what they are trying to do as a, let's call them a tech business going forward. On the announcement of the unbundling of MultiChoice, they're obviously, you know, keeping all the e-commerce interests. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that deal going forward. I haven't done too much research on the underlying business to see if it's a good deal or not. Look, for Naspers, that's not even money, really. If you consider 1.4 billion rand in a company like that, it's not going to move the share too much. But interesting to see where they're going with it.
Yeah, and the unbundling of MultiChoice, they announced earlier or at the annual general meeting a few months ago that they will unbundle companies. But I got the impression it would be they would start with international companies.
Yeah, so this is an interesting one. Obviously, I think a big concern for them has been, you know, the fact that a lot of the rump, let's call it the rump and Naspers, so the non-10-cent holdings are kind of almost valued. You could even consider them being valued at a negative multiple in our markets. And I think they're trying to realize value for shareholders. And they've been listening to shareholders around this for quite some time. So I think, you know, MultiChoice, a fairly sizable business and they're stable. A little bit maybe could be around timing here too. I mean, if you look at MultiChoice as a standalone business, at the moment it's very cash generative and it's still in a growing, growing its customer base, particularly in Africa. But when you consider that, you know, they've got a lot of competition now from the likes of Netflix and companies like that, your connected services type companies. Maybe this is a good time to sell the business. You know, maybe they're looking at this more on a cyclical point of view and saying, you know, maybe it's time to sell. So it's an interesting one and something we're trying to sort of still wrap our heads around. Why particularly MultiChoice? You know, they're still holding on to the e-commerce businesses. Interesting one to look at. I think it makes sense. It makes sense that they're going to sell this one. And I think it's going to be good for shareholders in the short term. Just long term is whether you hold those MultiChoice shares or not.
Yeah. And then lastly, Vivo Energy. It's not a company I think many analysts follow, but it did a 30 billion rand deal and it's buying Engen's international operations in 8 sub-Saharan countries and it already owns and operates 1,800 Shell service stations in 15 countries. The deal has been announced, but they now have the thumbs up to actually proceed. What do you make of Vivo and this deal?
Yes, also not a stock that we follow too closely. It's only recently listed, and it's not very liquid stock. Look, clearly, I mean, on the front of it, it looks like, I mean, they've got a massive network, particularly in Africa, and I think this just adds to that network. So hopefully there can be some sort of synergy around, you know, they're going to be pretty much running Shell and Engen through Africa. Hopefully there's going to be some synergy around their infrastructure, their logistics, which should help increase margins, I would think. So haven't done too much analysis on the deal itself. It's a lot of money to be paying. But yeah, I think something to watch over the future. Hopefully it will translate into improved margins for the business though.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Verschuur, Portfolio Manager at Unum Capital.